The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Texas show.
Just yesterday, I caught a wild bird with my bare hands, and then I set it free, because that's just who I am. When you love something, you set it free.
But first, you must catch it with your bare hands. That's the rule.
And now, my friend Eric Metaxas, who is a lot like that caught bird.
Fly, little Eric, fly. Be free and fly.
Fly to your microphone in the mountains. Yawk! Yawk!
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Radio Show. If you're watching this on some kind of video device, I don't know what to tell you. It's a radio show. Albin, Chris,
yes.
Lots going on right now. Where do we even start? First of all, I would like to wish an 85th happy birthday to one of our listeners. Stan Barber wrote to us, or is it Baber? Sorry. And it was such a sweet note. And I said, you know, when somebody turns 85, I would really like to, if possible, wish him happy birthday. When people write to us, it means so much to me. You just have no idea. You know, you got to keep it short just because I can't read everything if it gets to be long. But it means a lot to me. So thank you, Stan Barber. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I doff my beanie to you.
We've got John Zmirak coming up. And I'm always scared when Zmirak comes up because, man, He brings it. You know what I'm saying? He brings the heat.
Facts
and the fire. John, the Situation Zmirak is going to be on here in a couple of seconds, actually. And then in hour two, I'm going to talk a little bit about my book. What's it called? Seven More Men.
I'm going to talk
about that briefly. But we're also going to have Ken Fish on just for a little part of hour two. What's going on in the news today? Trump is making his big announcement this afternoon to tell what the new guidelines are for opening up the country.
Yeah,
this is going to be so controversial. I mean, I've never seen anything so political. The Democrats, some of them have been worse than others in making this bitterly, bitterly political. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
I find it interesting that Trump has this, you know, that this virus pandemic has handed him a daily opportunity to talk to the American people. It's very interesting, actually. And I think politically, the folks on the left are upset about that. And they feel they need to do what they can to shut him up or to counter everything that he says or to push back on what he says. Albin and Chris, is there anything that we need to cover before we go to John Zmirak?
I just predict that Governor Cuomo is going to say President Trump is perfect. That plan of yours, President Trump, is absolutely perfect.
In order to shore up his base, he's extending the abortion limits to children 2 years of age and under. He's going to out Herod in this. It's we're living in dark times. Okay, Chris Himes, try not to smirk at that. We want to remind you also, this is actually bizarre. I am flying next week to Nashville in a plane, so don't worry. But I'm flying to Nashville because the Q conference, you can check this out online. The Q conference, they're doing a virtual thing all around the country. People are tuning into this Q conference, which is normally thousands of people gather, but now it's going to be online. But the guests are going to be there. And David French, who has been very, very anti-Trump, vocally anti-Trump, ostensibly because of his faith, David French's faith. He and I are going to have a conversation on whether Christians should or should not support Trump. And I just want to advertise that. It's a great conference. Q conferences are always great. Lecrae is going to be at this conference. Tim Keller is going to be there. So all kinds of stuff. It's not just me, obviously, but I do want to say that I will be there having a conversation with David French on whether or not Christians ought to support Trump and why.
I've been to Q before. It's pretty fun. You hear a lot of really interesting viewpoints from people in all sorts of disciplines. It's pretty great time.
And if you look, and on Twitter, I'm going to post it, but you get a discount if you order, if you use my code, I guess, on Twitter. But you have to look, I'll post it again today, on Twitter and on our newsletter that comes out tomorrow. Now, folks, tomorrow on the newsletter, there are many people listening right now. You're not getting the newsletter. You have no idea what you're missing. You have to go to ericmetaxas.com. Ericmetaxas.com. It says sign up for the newsletter. You get the newsletter every Friday, and we have videos of everything we do this week. Yesterday, I interviewed Franklin Graham. It was pretty spectacular. And I interviewed the Benham brothers. As we know, David Benham was arrested. We talked about that, about civil liberties. Obviously, what we're going to do with John Zmirak in a few minutes, that'll be on there. And a lot of this information about how to register for this, for that. The Q conference is a big one. Also, I think we need to list on there nosafespaces.com, because, again, yesterday it occurred to me that this is something about free speech. We're living in weird times. And so if you're not trying to help, you're inadvertently becoming part of the problem. No Safe Spaces about free speech has been banned from Amazon Prime and from Netflix. Okay, so the two premier streaming networks have banned something about free speech, No Safe Spaces. So you have to go to nosafespaces.com. And all I can tell you is I hope you do, because we really need to make ourselves aware of what's happening.
And you could save 25% by putting in the code SAVE25 and save 25% on the rental. Yeah.
Alvin, you've just saved people thousands of dollars across the country. Save 25, that's it?
That's it. Save 25.
What if you put in save 50? Would that work?
No.
Save 25.
25.
Okay. Alvin, do you wear that same hat every day? Because I'm never...
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but about 2 weeks ago, I changed from the black Eric Metaxas hat to the khaki Eric Metaxas.
Oh, it's all over
hat.
The internet. People are wondering what happened.
Yeah, it's springtime. La, 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 la.
And Chris, you haven't shaved, obviously, in a season. Have you made a vow to the Lord that a razor will not touch your head until something happens, until the country is opened up?
Well, you know, I'm half Cuban, so sometimes I like to, you know, pay homage to my heritage and, you know, kind of let it go a little free there.
Make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm so masculine because of my Greek side that I could grunt a beard out in an afternoon. A little ouzo.
Yeah.
And I could grunt it out. That's, you know, that's the kind of masculinity we're talking about.
I keep looking at you and thinking of it. Yeah. Dean Jones in this shaggy DNA.
This morning, I had to get up early to be on the Hugh Hewitt show to promote my book, Seven Men. And I asked his engineer, like, what time do you get up every morning? 1 a.m. was his answer. So suddenly I didn't really feel very heroic for getting up as early as I got up. But I was on Hugh Hewitt this morning. I was on Sebastian Gorka yesterday. The day before that, I was on Dennis Prager talking about, you know, my Seven Men book. And I thought, what do these guys have that I don't have, besides a radio show in Salem, which we all have in common? I realized Eric Metaxas as a guest. So in hour two, briefly, I'm going to talk about my book, Seven Men. But it's kind of weird. Hugh Hewitt was, when he read the Solzhenitsyn chapter, he said he was upset with me about one detail. I said, what's that? And when I describe in the Solzhenitsyn chapter, Solzhenitsyn gave a famous speech. He was invited to be Harvard's commencement speaker in 1978. So he went into the belly of the beast and let him have it with both barrels. It was in the rain. It was in Russian. And everybody sat there in the rain for 2 hours. Hugh Hewitt says, that was my graduating class. You didn't mention me, Eric. And I realized that when we had a Socrates in the City a couple of years ago, we discussed this. And actually, we we disagreed, Hugh and I, on whether Solzhenitsyn was right. I said that I believe firmly, and I still believe firmly, that what Solzhenitsyn said in his speech then, you can read it in my book, Seven More Men, that what he said has in fact come to pass. Hugh Hewitt disagreed with me. When you read the book, you can figure it out for yourself. So we're going to go to a break here. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. MetaxasTalk.com is our website. EricMetaxas.com is my website to sign up for the newsletter. When we come back, we're going to be talking to John the Situation Zmirak about some current events. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, on this program, we bring to you John the Situation Zmirak. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Great to be on.
I love having you on because there's always so much to talk about. You're one of the rare people that just can make me howl laughing. The title of one of your pieces, it was from like almost a week ago, What a Friend We Have in Moloch.
Oh, yeah.
That is so funny and horrible. So I want to talk to you about that. And then I want to talk to you about what's the most recent one? I can't remember.
Let's see. Let me go check. No, I've got a new one coming out today, which is not up yet. You haven't read it yet, but it'll be up this afternoon, called the Reichstag Fire Election.
No, I want to talk about that right now.
November 2020. Well, think about this. I don't know if you, last week I mentioned, or 2 weeks ago, I wrote a column at stream.org about an exciting new film, Hoaxed, by Mike Chernovich. It documents severe media bias, not just the mainstream media, but tech companies, government, international media bias. For instance, it asks, why was that, you know, that picture of that Kurdish boy who was drowned when he was fleeing from Syria, and it turned out his family were using people, human traffickers. But that picture was everywhere. It was broadcast all across Europe, the front page of newspapers. Normally, newspapers don't show pictures of dead children, especially close-ups, but they made an exception. Now, in the film, Chernovich and his experts ask, well, why did they make an exception? And where did they not make an exception? They look at the Bataclan massacre, the jihadist attack in Paris. Not one of those victims was the photograph broadcast. And they asked why. What's the agenda behind showing the Kurdish child who drowned trying to get into Europe and showing the Parisians who were slaughtered by Muslims who were already in Europe?
It's called manipulating people. That's what it's called. Right. It's called manipulating people. It is evil. It has been done since time immemorial. When people can do these things, they do these things. But in the West and in America, we have always said, we don't want to stoop to that. And when people stoop to that, we call them out. You are now calling out the mainstream media for having done this, which was unconscionable.
No, it's worse than that. It's worse than that, Eric. The film Hoaxed that does this and calls out many other instances of media bias, for instance, in the 2016 election, the film was just banned from Amazon. It premiered on Amazon. 3 weeks in, they're notified that it's being removed. There's no explanation. Amazon says, we don't need to give you an explanation. Film's been removed.
Now, where else can we see it?
Now you can still see it while we speak, before they decide to ban it there, at Vudu, I think on YouTube, and I think at iTunes. But it has been banned. Vudu.
There's
Amazon and iTunes. Not Amazon. Vudu. iTunes and YouTube. I hope you can have Chernovich on to talk about it while it's still legal to show it on any platform in America. But how chilling is that? You make a film about media bias and a tech billionaire company, multi-billion dollar company, just bans it without any explanation.
Well, John, listen, you don't know this, but in the segment just before you came on, we were talking about our friend Dennis Prager. With Adam Carolla, put out an absolutely excellent film on free speech called No Safe Spaces.
Right,
it has been banned from Amazon Prime, and it's been banned from Netflix. And I have to tell you, folks, ladies and gentlemen, if you need proof that we are living in the midst of a war, a cultural war between those who love American style freedom and those who are the enemies of it, what can possibly explain a film like No Safe Spaces being banned? I saw the film. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a G-rated film, maybe PG. Honestly, nothing explains it. And now we're hearing from you, John, that hoaxed, very similar theme has been banned. Amazing.
Well, I have some more creepy news for you, Eric. In my piece on the Reichstag fire election, and obviously I'm making a parallel to the emergency state of emergency the Nazis whipped up after the Reichstag burn, the state of emergency they're trying to impose on all Americans because of this virus. In Germany, there was a medical ethics lawyer, a specialist. She had argued several times in front of Germany's constitutional court, won three cases, published multiple books. She put out a call a few days ago for there to be mass protests against the lockdown, for the coronavirus lockdown. Now, you might not agree with that. You might think that's a bad idea.
This is in Germany recently. Okay.
Germany this week. Okay. Last week. So she put out this call for protests saying that she said that the lockdown orders in Germany were too draconian, that they violated Germany's constitution. The police showed up, grabbed her, dumped her in a psychiatric hospital in an unfurnished cell, and she slept on the floor with no water and no bathroom and is still trying to get out. She was locked up in a psychiatric facility the way the Soviets used to lock up dissidents.
Look, I
want to make a connection.
Yeah.
Joe Biden is the Democratic nominee, presumptive nominee. He just got endorsed by Obama. What did Obama promise? He promised to fundamentally transform America, to make it more like a normal country, like the countries in Western Europe. In normal countries, according to Obama and Biden, the government can lock you up if it thinks your speech is dangerous. Huge companies can silence your free speech. They can prevent you from doing drive-in church services, as is happening all across the South. You've got Democrat mayors and governors using the police to stop people from gathering in their cars in parking lots to have church services. That's what they think of as a normal country. Those are the stakes in November.
I just want to know who is out there in America right now that can be persuaded that something needs to change, because I think there are a lot of Americans that they believe us. They see what we see. They get upset about it and they do what they can. But I'd like to think that there are people listening to this program right now who they have a more innocent view, and they need to know that sometimes things are what others are saying. In other words, what we're talking about right now, it's not just, oh, it's our point of view and we're being hyperbolic, or we're being histrionic, we're being theatrical and dramatic. Unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, that's not the case.
That's what films like Hoaxed and No Safe Spaces are designed to do. We call it red pilling. It's a reference to The Matrix, where remember the character offers Keanu Reeves two pills. I think it's the black pill, which will let you continue to live in a world of illusion, and the red pill, which will show you just how bad things really are.
I think it's blue and red, but whatever. Okay. Go ahead.
John, what about Michigan? I mean, in Michigan now they're protesting the fact. What about that?
Yeah, in Michigan, the bizarro governor of Michigan, who, I used to think she looked like, kind of a cute teacher I would have had a crush on. And day by day, she looks more and more like Caitlyn Jenner. I think evil is not being good for her appearance. But Gretchen Whitmer has shut down the entire state. You can go to jail for fishing alone on a lake in your own boat. You can go to jail for selling seeds or baby car seats in stores. She has imposed just a completely draconian regime that has nothing to do with public safety. Same thing happening in Virginia. He's locked down the whole state, told everyone, stay in your house till June 1st.
John, look.
How can you legally even appeal this when the courts are closed?
This is a moment when Americans need to rise up. First of all, I'm not talking about, you know, carrying your guns into the streets. But the point is that, for example, if you can watch No Safe Spaces by going to nosafespaces.com, please do it, please. And you can use, Albin, you said there was a discount code?
Yes. Yeah. It's called Save25. And by the way, in Michigan, they are coming by the droves in cars. They're coming into Detroit to protest right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, so just a couple of things. So you can use Save25 and go to nosafespaces.com. The film Hoaxed, same thing, folks. If you can find it on YouTube or whatever,
iTunes, please, or Vudu.
Or Vudu, V-U-D-U, or YouTube. But the film Hoaxed, we've got to do what we can. Now, this is asking very little of us, let's be honest, to watch some films. But that's the first thing. The second thing is we need to inform ourselves of what is happening. We've got the rest of the hour and more with John Zmierak. But I want to say, as we're closing, we have to support those who are on the right side of these things. And I'm asking you folks, please at least look into it yourself. Don't take our word for it. We don't want to be fear mongers. We want to tell you the truth. But when the truth is like this, we need to know it and we need to take action. We'll be right back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Not a lot I can do. Heroes and role models have always been tremendously important to me. In my new book, Seven More Men, I tell the uplifting and inspiring stories of Martin Luther, George Whitefield, William Booth, George Washington Carver, Sergeant Alvin York, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and Billy Graham. Each of these men had the courage to surrender themselves to a higher purpose for the sake of others. Become acquainted with these seven incredible heroes and your life will be immeasurably richer. Order your copy of Seven More Men today. For more info, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Christian best-selling author and speaker Richard E. Simmons does not shy away from the big questions of life. His latest book is called Reflections on the Existence of God, and it tackles the biggest question of all, does God exist? I've read this book, and I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you can imagine that I like it a lot because Simmons offers insights for those grappling with life's biggest questions. Where do we find meaning in life? Who determines what is evil? Can we be moral without God? Does God even exist? Former White House aide Wallace Henley says, I've taught apologetics for many years and I've read every scholar mentioned in this book. Of all the books on apologetics, Simmons is the best I have ever read. This book is easy to read because it's divided into a series of brief essays, perfect for a devotional or discussion with a friend. I highly recommend that you add a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God to your pandemic reading list. Simmons asks questions that speak directly to one of the most important things you possess, your worldview. Folks, you know how important this is to me. Your worldview is going to impact the way you live your life for better or for worse. If you want to challenge yourself to spiritual and intellectual growth, and I hope you do, then be willing to ask yourself life's toughest questions. Dive in today by picking up a copy of Reflections on the Existence of God right now. Go to existenceofgodbook.com. That's existenceofgodbook.com. Hey, folks, welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. It's a radio show. So if you're listening to it in some kind of audio manner, that's perfectly appropriate. But if you want to see what we look like, you can go to YouTube, to the Eric Metaxas Show channel. It's extraordinary the amount of work that we put in to make ourselves look presentable on camera. So I want you to be aware. This morning, I ran out of, because of the shutdown, I ran out of my typical hair product. And so I went to the bear grease. I got some bar grease. I killed me a bear in Central Park. And The bear grease, that's what they used in the 19th century. I thought, let me try it. And I think it's perfectly adequate. It smells like crazy. But listen, on video, you can't smell it. Okay, we're going to go back to John, the situation, Zemirak.
Wait,
John,
it's more likely you killed a squirrel in Central Park and used squirrel grease than...
I can tell the difference between a squirrel and a bear, my brother. Okay, this thing was huge. It had a big fluffy tail and it climbed up a tree, but I chased it and I believe it was some kind of bear. Anyway, John Zmirak, what were we talking about?
Well, I think you're going to spread to the human population some bear virus and we're going to count you as patient zero. But hey, thanks a lot for the next the next virus. I was talking about some of my pieces at stream.org, and speaking about viruses, one of the latest pieces is there's no vaccine for the tyrannovirus, as in the virus of tyranny. And I point out some historical parallels. The last great pandemic that really, really took a huge toll on the human population was the so-called Spanish flu. Right. And ironically, it wasn't from Spain. It was from Kansas. American soldiers were sick in Lawrence, Kansas, and Woodrow Wilson insisted on sending them to Europe anyway at the end of World War I. And that's how that virus spread. It really should be called the Wilson flu. It killed like 60 to 70 million people. While that flu was keeping everyone busy and distracted and panicking, another virus got loose in the world, communism. It took over Russia. While everyone was distracted by the Spanish flu, nobody bothered to topple the Bolshevik regime. It would have been easy. It would have taken a few thousand troops, and we could have stopped the rise of communism, which ended up killing maybe 80, 90 million people and enslaving half the globe and locking America into a nuclear showdown. I don't know but this is true of you, Eric, but up until like 1990, I was pretty sure of how I was going to die. I was going to die in a nuclear fireball when it hit New York City. And it was only in 1990 when I realized, wait a minute, I might not die in a nuclear war because the Soviet Union has collapsed. And I realized what a burden that was. A whole generation, two generations of people lived under the fear of nuclear annihilation. Hundreds of millions lived under slavery in China, the Soviet Union, still do in Cuba and North Korea and China, all because in 1918, they let one virus, Spanish flu, distract them from a much more deadly virus, Bolshevism. Right now, we are being distracted by the very real threat of coronavirus from the enormous gathering of power, the ruthless gathering of power by the left in America. They want to do mail-in voting. You know, they can stuff the ballot boxes. They want to decide which businesses are essential and which aren't. So liquor stores and abortion clinics are essential. Churches are not. You think that's a coincidence?
I got to tell you, John, I believe that this is going to lead to good things because sometimes people need to wake up. And I think most Americans don't want to believe. I'm part of the group. I don't want to believe it's as bad as it is. Sometimes you need a wake-up call. Pearl Harbor was that kind of a wake-up call for all those who said, we don't want to get involved in that thing happening over there in Europe. Sometimes you need a wake-up call. You need to understand the war has come to you. Right now, what I am seeing happening in this country with people like the governor of Michigan, it makes me think that it's going to wake up Americans who are going to protest, who are going to say, absolutely not. We know what our rights are. We will not stand for this. This is why we picked up muskets and many of us died to fight King George III. We will not stand for this. We wouldn't stand for it then. We won't stand for it now. We wouldn't stand for slavery. We will fight when it comes to it. And I really think that all these things are wake-up calls. I lost my clock, so in case I'm going close to the edge of this, somebody give me a warning. But anyway, John, I really do think that this can be a good thing for America because a lot of this kind of stuff has been happening.
The left likes to use public safety as a pretext so that if you protest against excessive, outrageous, non-health-related things like prohibiting drive-through church services, if you protest against that, they say you don't care about public safety.
Right.
I like to remind people of the organization called the Committee for Public Safety. it was the junta that ran the French Revolution, that enacted the Reign of Terror, that cut the heads off tens of thousands of people, that butchered nuns and priests. It was the Committee of Public Safety.
Okay, hang on a second. This is Orwell before Orwell. We're going to be right back with John Zmirak. Don't go away. Folks, talking to John, the situation, Zmirak, Big Bad John from Texas. John, we're talking about stuff that, you know, I would say even a few years ago, I thought it's not going to get that bad. Or if it does get that bad, I sure hope it happens years from now. This is really bad stuff right now. But in a way, it's good because it's waking people up. In my book, If You Can Keep It, I wanted to make people aware of some things. I just didn't realize that it could happen this way. Even with a president like Trump, something like a virus could be used, like the Reichstag fire, for people to grab power. It is happening left and right. And if Americans don't stand up, we deserve it.
Let's remember this, okay? First of all, we're very lucky that Donald Trump is president. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton were president and a virus like this came along? Or if Joe Biden takes power and another Chinese bioweapon escapes from the lab, or another bat bites a pangolin, or whatever it is that caused this thing. We know the Chinese Communist Party covered it up, and we know American media is covering up for the Chinese Communist Party. They're constantly running communist propaganda talking points and trying to blame President Trump as if he were the dictator of a country that had a million Muslims in concentration camps and cut their organs out and sold them for profit.
We've got to stay on this a little bit, if not today, in other shows, because we've never seen things line up this way. We have a country, first of all, most Americans, and I say this because my parents are from Europe, and they saw evil, they saw communism, they saw war, they knew what it was literally to be hungry, to have malnutrition from hunger. So the way they raised me in Queens, where you grew up, was a little different than the way most Americans grew up. Most Americans grew up with plenty of everything, with plenty of freedom, with plenty of food. And the idea of evil receded as something that just we had defeated it. We'd evolved past this somehow. And they forget that when you have a government like China that are totalitarians, they're atheists, they literally don't believe in right and wrong or good and evil. They literally believe in using whatever they can do to maintain and increase their power. But the problem is we now have a culturally elite class in America, mostly in the media and in the deep state, that have precisely the same worldview. This has never happened before. We had the Red Scare, and we had communists infiltrating the government in the 40s and 50s, and that was very real. But the thing is, today we have people defending the WHO. They are despicably corrupt, as corrupt as you can be, the WHO, and they are in bed with China, who are wicked dictators, wicked slave owners, okay? And we have a media that actually doesn't understand this, that even at a time like this, will not defend American values, will not defend what this president says because they hate him that much. I just want people to understand, it is that weird, it is that bad. Yeah. We need to face this.
Well, I mean, remember, in the 1930s, the New York Times denied the Ukrainian famine, where 6 to 10 million people starved to death through an intentional famine Stalin imposed on the region. They had a left-wing, a communist reporter there, Walter Duranty, who was friends with Stalin and covered it all up. He won a Pulitzer Prize that still hangs in the New York Times headquarters in New York City. In the 1970s, you had Noam Chomsky at MIT denying the Khmer Rouge denying that the killing fields were taking place. We have seen this kind of thing before. What we haven't seen before is a foreign country like China owning large parts of our corporations, our economy being dependent on them. Will they sell us masks? Will they sell us antibiotics? How on earth did we let communist dictators running slave factories? I mean, they got Uyghur Muslims working as slave laborers, making the iPhones that Americans can watch MSNBC on. What, and hear about how Trump is a Nazi dictator. That phone on which you're watching reports that Trump is a dictator was built by slaves laboring under an actual dictator, Xi Jinping. People don't want to have to think this through. The whole woke movement is a cheap imitation of Christianity, where you get the sense of righteousness, you get the sense of forgiveness and of being part of the elect. You just don't have to repent or reform your life or actually help anyone with anything. You just get to feel great about yourself and, more importantly, superior to your neighbors who might not make as much money or have gone to as elite and prestigious a school.
I tell you, John, you know, no kidding. I'm becoming really radicalized in a way, because I always want to give the other side the benefit of the doubt. But I'm seeing things happening right now where I realize we're at war, that this is a cultural war. We're certainly in a cold war with China. They are very, very wicked, very wicked. We need to call them out. We need to understand it. Yesterday in the president's press conference, a reporter said, why is it that we have, I don't know what it was, you know, 20% of the infections and only 4% of the world population, something along those lines. And the president had to tell this reporter, who is a college graduate, who is allowed into the room with the president of the United States because of her press credentials, he had to tell her that what we report in terms of deaths is accurate. What China reports is a joke. Places like China or any government, I would say, outside of the United States does not hold to the standards that we do. But China in particular, they lie for a living. This is what they do. And it's kind of funny. It's like when we were dealing with Iran, you know, a couple of decades ago, and their foreign minister would say X and Y. They absolutely lie. It is culturally acceptable to lie. Their values are that lying is absolutely fine if it furthers your agenda. But the idea that somebody in the press pool, in the room with the president, doesn't understand this, unless they understood it and they were giving him a softball so he could say it, but that yeah. China will never tell us the truth about their hand in allowing this virus to take over the world. What they didn't do, they will never tell us this.
Eric, I saw this. I think it was on. I think it was on Laura Ingraham last night, and there was a follow up. We now know the virus with increasing level of certainty that this virus was something that was from a lab, where they were experimenting on how to contain viruses.
Okay, John, hang on. I'm sorry. We're going to go to another break. We'll be right back. More with John Smirak. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. I'm talking to John Smirak. John Smirak, you were just saying that last night Laura Ingraham was talking about this issue. Please
okay,
continue.
Fox News, Brett Beyer of Fox News reporting on this. We now know with an increasing level of certitude that the origin of the Wuhan flu, the China virus, was a biological research lab in Wuhan, China, where they were experimenting not on bioweapons, as far as we know, but on how to contain viruses. And because China's wet markets produced the last three global pandemics, they were looking at, well, how could we maybe control the next one? But it's kind of a crappy lab. They didn't have good safety procedures, and the virus escaped.
Okay. So this is what I heard. I heard just what you heard, that that they created it in a lab. There's no question. In fact, there, I watched something about this recently. There was some kind of a short documentary that people who know about viruses said there's no way this virus just generated it, whatever. So it's created in a lab. It escapes the lab and then is transmitted into the wet market. And then they blamed it on the wet market.
But the important thing is this, Eric. What they have found and what Fox reported last night was that China knew this was transmissible through humans. It locked up the scientist who had discovered it, who has since died of the disease. It banned travel from the Wuhan province to any other part of China. But here's the important part. It let people from Wuhan fly all around the world. It continued to let people, imagine that. Imagine we had a virus that broke out in the New York area, and we said, no, nobody in New York can go to any other part of America, but we're going to continue international flights out of JFK. That is what China did. They used this as a bioweapon. They intentionally allowed this to spread all around the world.
Now,
they wouldn't let it in the rest of China. They let them fly all around the world. This was on, I think this was on the Laura Ingraham program. It was also reported on the Sean Hannity program last night.
Okay, now, if this is true, that means that we really are at war with China. This is an act of war because many, many, many thousands of Americans have died as a result of an intentional decision, a malevolent decision, not a mistake, by the Chinese leadership. We know that they are wicked to their own people, that we know. But the idea that they thought, this is a great opportunity, let's use this. I mean, if that is true, we are genuinely going to be at war with them because that is the kind of thing that it's out of a science fiction novel.
If this seems implausible to people, keep in mind.
Hey there, folks. I think we just lost John Zmirak, but we're going to have him back for the beginning of hour two. Meanwhile, I want to talk about an American hero named Mike Lindell. He's the head of MyPillow.com. He said this at the White House a couple of weeks ago. Let's play that.
Disgrace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope where just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people in this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
I cannot believe that he said that in the White House Rose Garden. Folks, I exhort you, go to MyPillow.com. Support this man, MyPillow.com. Always use our code ERIC to get our huge discount up to 60%. But support this guy. I cannot believe he said that. We need more people like him. MyPillow.com. Use the code ERIC. We'll be right back with John Zmirak in hour two.